Let's learn about Wharton Lauder and its joint MA-MBA and MA-JD programs for people who are passionate about international business. Hello and welcome to the 337th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in the best program for you. The featured resource for today's show is Fitting In and Standing Out, the paradox at the heart of admissions. Your application needs to show that you will do both, and that's the difficult paradox at the heart of admissions. Master that paradox, and you are well on your way to acceptance. Download this free guide at accepted.com/FISO. Again, accepted.com/FISO for Fitting In, Standing Out. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Kara Keenan-Sweeney, Director of Admissions, Marketing, and Financial Aid at the Lauder Institute at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School and Penn Law School. Kara has an extensive background in graduate admissions, starting with her master's in higher ed administration at Columbia University, and moving on to admissions positions at INSEAD, the University of Pennsylvania, Penn State, and now at the Lauder Institute. Kara, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm so pleased to have you again on the podcast.
Thank you.
Can you just start out by giving us an overview of the Wharton Lauder program? There may be some listeners who aren't that familiar with it.
Sure. So the Lauder program offers a Master of Arts in International Studies that students can do at the same time as they complete the Wharton MBA program. So we're a two-year fully integrated joint degree program. The degree is awarded by Penn School of Arts and Sciences, but pretty much all of the classes, except for a few electives, are taken here at the Lauder Institute. The Lauder Institute was founded in 1985 by the family of Estee Lauder, so they've been very involved in the planning of the program and the execution of the program and continue to be really involved with our students. So program's been going strong since then. We have at Lauder six programs of concentration that each student is sort of focused on as they go through the program. They focus on one of those six areas. Five of the programs of concentration are focused on a region of the world. So, for example, we have a program on East and Southeast Asia where students can focus on Chinese, Japanese, or Korean. We have a program in Latin America, Europe, Africa, and then our last region is South Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa. So five major regions of the world. And with each region language that the students study. And then we also have a sixth program, which is our global track, which is sort of designed for students that have already had fairly significant international experience and are looking for more of sort of a macro level focus on global issues, global themes. For students who come to our global track, there's no language component because they must already speak a second or third language. So essentially, a very strong international focus for the 2 years the students are here at the program, and again, fully integrated to their studies at Wharton. So, you know, we don't add another year or it's not a part-time program. Students do both programs simultaneously.
Okay, great. Yeah. You mentioned Wharton School. There, I know that most participants in the Lauder program are from Wharton and getting their MBA, but isn't it also for Penn Law?
That's right. Yeah. So each year we have a handful of students. This year we had one student coming from the law school. In our second year class, we have two students. So it does tend to be a much smaller program. Right. There's also a lot fewer JD students at Penn Law. So I think less than 200, whereas there's almost 900 MBAs. So So the Lauder program was really designed to fit into the MBA curriculum. And that's been our longest partnership. The law school partnership started about 10 years ago, but we're certainly happy to have our law school students. They add a lot of value to the classroom coming from a different background.
And in both cases, the participant in the Lauder program doesn't extend their graduate education. They get the second degree while doing either the MBA or the JD. Is that correct?
That's right. Exactly. So actually the way it works for Lauder is we front load the program a little bit so that our students start in May, which essentially at Penn is like the summer term. So we have 70 students approximately in each class. So they come to Philadelphia, they start around May 1st, and they take a month of classes in Philadelphia, start the program, and then in June and July, they do their 8-week summer immersion, which is a key experience at Lauder. So we have 3 months of study before the MBA program starts, or before the second and third year of the law school program.
Okay. Now, Wharton Lauder has a brand new director, Dr. Martine Haas.
Yes.
And I realize that she just started in July, but do you have any idea of the direction that she'd like to take the program?
Yeah, so I think Martine, it's been great to have her here in the last few months. She brings a lot of energy. Our previous director was here for 12 years, and he was fantastic. But of course, it's great to have somebody new in the program. It's also the first woman who's led the Institute, so that's exciting for us here. But Martine has a very strong international background. So she's from South Africa. She studied in the UK. She's been here teaching at Penn at the Wharton program for, I think, at least the last 12 years or so. So she knows the school really well. And right now, you know, she's just been here a few months. So I think she's continuing to learn more about our program, our students, our alumni. She's been working really closely with our alumni and board. So I think she's just really excited to be a part of the community and to help sort of shape the vision over the next 5 years that she'll be the director.
Great. Okay. What else is new at Wharton Lauder since we last spoke
to you? A couple of things. So a few years back, as I'm sure I've shared on prior podcasts, we sort of changed the curriculum at Lauder to move from strict kind of language focused tracks to more of these programs of concentration. So we have the 5 regional programs, as I mentioned, we have the global program, and those have been going really well for the last few years and sort of the shift that we have on more of a regional focus. We do have a few sort of additions. So in the last few years, we added Korean as one of our language programs to the East and Southeast Asia track. So that's been great. It's small but growing. So we're excited to have an additional language offered at the Institute. And then we also restarted our Anglophone Africa program this year. So we had our first inaugural class of the Africa track a few years back, and we continued to have a Francophone track. But in the last few years, we haven't had as much interest in an Anglophone program. So this year, we're really excited to have 3 students join us for the Anglophone component of the Africa track. So they spent 8 weeks in Africa, focused on Anglophone Africa. They're taking a course specifically here at Lauder, focused on African studies. And we actually hired 3 new faculty members, one of whom oversees the Africa program now. So that's been a really exciting addition in terms of faculty. We have another new faculty member who's overseeing the students do a project called the Global Knowledge Lab, which is essentially like a year-long research project they do focused on on-the-ground research and topics across international studies. So we have a new faculty member who's overseeing that. So that's an exciting addition to our faculty. Anybody who's interested, you can go to our website and take a look at the faculty listings and profiles. We also had very recently in the last month or so, a new fellow joined the program. And as a senior fellow, it's Muhammad El Aryan, who's joined us as a professor of practice at Wharton, as well as a senior global fellow here at Lauder. So we're really excited to have him and his amazing experience over the last so many years come to the Institute and work with our students. So lots of new faculty and fellows joining us, lots of additions in terms of lots of additions, but additions in terms of the focus of the program. And then lastly, one thing I wanted to mention is that the students are required to go on 2 trips that we call the Lauder Intercultural Ventures, or LIVs. So they started a few years back, and each year we're sort of refining those programs and adding to them. So this year we have 9 trips, I believe, that the students can take advantage of, and 3 new ones. So the students have the opportunity to go to Botswana, Myanmar, and Tahiti this year. So that's it. 3 new exciting additions to the other programs. We also have Cuba, Denmark and Estonia, Israel, Mongolia, and the former Yugoslavia. So the students spend a week in one of these regions, and they also study a topic. So for example, in the Yugoslavia, in former Yugoslavia, they study sort of the rebuilding of that area, and specifically focused on Bosnia and Serbia. Mm-hmm. In Myanmar, they'll study Buddhism's impact on business. In Israel, they focus on water and innovation. So each location has a really interesting topic that's assigned. So the students will go there with a faculty leader, spend a week there focused on that topic, write a paper. And again, those are two courses that are required as part of an intercultural leadership course the students take at Lauder. So exciting additions. Again, if anyone's interested, any listeners, encouraged to go to our website where they can find the details of all of those LIVs, as we call them, and the locations and the topics that are affiliated with them.
That sounds fascinating. Oh, sounds like a major push into or an increase in the importance of Africa in the program, Africa and the Middle East, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, important, I think, for the Institute to broaden in terms of locations and not just keep going to the same places year after year. So really to make sure the students have as sort of as varied of an experience in terms of geographic opportunities as possible, and to, you know, make sure they keep the curriculum fresh and the opportunities for students to study and travel fresh as well. So excited to see the new additions for these LIVs.
Okay. Now let's turn to the application process to Wharton Lauder. Can you describe the critical elements of the Wharton Lauder application?
Sure. So in order for students to apply to Lauder, they actually complete the Wharton application as a traditional MBA applicant would. So they do the Wharton essays, they submit their CV, their resume, they do the recommendations, GMAT, GRE, all that stuff. So they work on it as any applicant would. And then embedded into the Wharton application is the Lauder application as well. So for the Lauder program, we ask for an additional essay. We like to hear from applicants why they're applying to Lauder, why they're applying to their chosen program of concentration, where they see how themselves adding value to the program, as well as what they can take away from the program, hopefully long term. And then for Lauder, we also asked for the results of something called the oral proficiency interview. So that's a language test that every applicant must take in order to apply to Lauder. So in order to come to Lauder and to study, students have to already have advanced language skills. So they must test at least at the advanced low level in the language they wish to study at Lauder. So if they come in with French or Korean, Japanese, etc., they must test at advanced low level or above. And that's because language at the graduate level has to be at the advanced level. So we don't do basic language here at Lauder. It is, you know, come in with a fairly good knowledge, and then we'll get you to the superior level or the fluent level over the 2 years of the program. So we ask for the results of that. We ask for your essay for Lauder, and then also some information on your international experience. And then applicants will submit those pieces as a joint application to both programs. So your application is jointly reviewed, and there's a joint decision. So you're either admitted to both, or in most cases, admitted to both or not to both. In very few cases, some students will be admitted to Wharton only, and that's only because they're not a fit for Lauder. We have a very self-selected pool of applicants, and the applicants are only reviewed among the pool in which they've applied. So we only look at the Wharton Lauder applicants as a whole group as we shape our class. And the Lauder Admissions Committee actually takes the lead with the review of both your Wharton and Lauder application, because we know, sort of tangentially members of the Wharton Admissions Committee as well. So we know what the Wharton program is looking for. And at the end of the process, we make a joint decision together as a joint committee. So super integrated in terms of our admissions process. It's integrated for our applicants as well.
So it's possible to get into Wharton and not into Lauder, but it wouldn't be possible to get into Lauder and not into Wharton if you're applying.
Yeah, exactly. Because Lauder is only offered as a joint degree. So we don't offer a standalone degree through Lauder.
And how, when you're looking at an application, how do you go through it? What do you start with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, we sort of read through it, start to finish in the same order in which the application would be submitted online. So we look through the person's background that they've shared with us, their work history. We read their essays. So for Wharton, there's two required essays. We take a look at their recommendations. And then the Lauder application is a supplement to the Wharton application online. So the Lauder application comes sort of, while it's embedded, it's sort of at the end of the Wharton application. So we read through it start to finish and evaluate each area. You know, we want to make sure that someone will thrive in the Wharton program. So we look at their academics, at their GMAT or GRE score. We want to see that they'll do well, especially at Wharton, with the quantitative work that's required, especially in the first semester at Wharton. And then on the Lauder side, because our program is a Master of Arts program, and it's more of a verbal component in terms of writing. We like to see that students have strong writing abilities. We can certainly look to the standardized test for evidence of that, but certainly their essays, their grades as an undergraduate can help give us an idea about those abilities. So look at the academic section. We look at their professional experience, how they have done so far in their career, what they'd like to do, and maybe use Wharton and Lauder to transition to, look at their recommendations. So we look at everything as one cohesive package, and then certainly evaluate for Lauder, any international experience that they've had, their international ambition. So what would they like to do afterwards? How do they see themselves really benefiting from the Lauder program in terms of, are they looking to maybe transition to a career in a specific region, and that's why they want to study that region at Lauder as well as the language, or are they looking for a global role? So we like to see that students have done their research, have put together a strong application where they're kind of checking all the boxes for, all the sections that we're looking for, looking at. They've really done their research. For Lauder, we often hear people say, wow, that sounds like an amazing program. And they hear about the travel and the immersive experiences. But we really want to see where students feel they can add value to our community and really gain something from the academic experience as well.
Is it important to you? Like, let's say somebody kind of says, I plan to stay in the United States. I want to work in, I don't know, I'll pick on high tech or a career track that doesn't have obvious global implications. But I'm really fascinated by whatever region they're fascinated by. Are you more interested in the person who has career direction that requires a degree as opposed to just a very deep and real interest in either global business or a particular region? And it's more intellectual curiosity.
Right. Sure. Than practical.
Professional. Exactly.
Yeah. So I would say we're kind of, so long as you have a compelling reason for wanting to pursue the program, whether it's, for example, we have a lot of students here who are maybe first generation Americans and their families come from Asia or Latin America. So they're really looking to get back in touch with their roots. They want to speak the language at a fluent level. Maybe they'll end up in New York or San Francisco or whatever, but they really see value in learning more about that region. That could be a compelling reason. It makes sense. We have some students. I met an alum last week in Germany, actually, who is German and returned to Germany, but she really wanted the opportunity, as you said, to kind of pursue her intellectual interests in research and international studies in general, because I think she knows long-term her work will be global, even if it's back in Germany or if it takes her to another part of the world. So having that sort of international mindset, that global mindset, and that global ambition, regardless of your location, I think is something for applicants to be mindful of, because the world is global. It doesn't matter if you're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or if you're in Hong Kong. I mean, everything now is so interconnected. So I think we're looking for students who really understand that, appreciate it, want to have a career and a personal life as well that really sort of feeds into that in terms of their intellectual interests and their passions and perhaps their professional roles too. But any substantive reason, whether it's focused academically, professionally, certainly we're happy to consider because we do have that language requirement that really does sort of recruit applicants to the program that makes sense. So,
It also weeds some out.
Right, exactly.
It's somewhat self-selecting, right?
Exactly, very self-selecting. So if you have those advanced language skills, it's sort of a given to some extent that you most likely have those intellectual or professional interests as well. So it sort of goes hand in hand.
Okay. Now, Lauder's essay question for MBAs is, discuss why you are applying to the Lauder program, detailing specific reasons for applying to your chosen program of concentration, and describing how you see yourself benefiting from and contributing to the Lauder program overall. And you say it's approximately 800 words. What is the wrong way to approach that question? You must have seen a few essays that reflect the Lauder.
So, you know, I always feel badly if I've read up until that point a really great application from someone who's got, you know, strong academics and great work experience, but they have clearly not done their research on the Lauder program. So we are a unique program. We want to see that students who are interested in the program have done their research in terms of, you know, thoroughly going through our website, maybe reaching out to our admissions team, connecting with students and alumni, and finding out, you know, what are the classes I'll be taking, speaking to their interests in specifically in that program of concentration. Why do they want to study the region? Why does it make sense from their background and their work experience? We do get essays from folks who we can tell really haven't done that research in terms of what classes are offered, why it makes sense for them, maybe what LIV they'd like to go on. We often have applicants who write about maybe what topic they would like to research as part of their Global Knowledge Lab work. So those are great ways to show to the admissions committee, hey, I've done my research here. I really know about the program. This is what I, you know, want to get out of it and what I feel I can bring to the program, to the community, to the class profile. We don't just want a page and a half essay on why you're interested in Africa because, you know, you took a few classes in college and, you know, we want to see that you've really done your research. You really understand what the program is about because as we've been talking about, it is quite a self-selected pool. So the folks who've done their research and who really feel like, hey, this, we often hear from applicants who are a great fit for the program that they feel like the program was designed for them. So if you feel that way, you want to convey that in the application, in the essay itself.
I was about to ask you what gets you excited in a positive way about a Lauder applicant, but I suspect that what you just said is what gets you excited when you feel that.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So when you see that sort of evidence of that research and that passion and the energy for the program, that's when you feel like, hey, this person is going to be a great fit. So for sure, that's what we look to see.
Okay. What about the applicant who is multilingual, has international experience and global career goals, but a below average GPA or test score? Mm-hmm. Are they doomed? What can they do, if anything, to improve the likelihood of acceptance?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple different ways to think about it. So I tell applicants, you know, don't just think about your GPA or your GMAT score as, first of all, it's never the end all be all when it comes to your application. And it's also for me not necessarily the only indication of like aptitude or ability as to how you'll do in both programs. So you can talk about if you have, let's say, a below average GMAT score. Talk about maybe in the optional essay about how, you know, the work that you do, and maybe there's quantitative aspects to the work. Maybe you've taken some supplemental courses, maybe online or, you know, through another means that show evidence of your academic ability. Talk about what you'd like to do and how it makes sense for you, you know, in terms of rounding out those skills that maybe you haven't had the chance to develop so far. So we certainly have a wide range of, you know, GPAs and GMAT scores. We also have students applying from all over the world. So when it comes to, you know, GPAs and things like that, we don't even have an average because we have students from so many different countries. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, it is certainly we will look to your academics to hopefully give us evidence. But if we don't see it there, give us another place on the application where we can find that evidence of you being a good, you know, hopefully a good student and doing well academically. Work experience, talk to your recommenders. Maybe they can include in their recommendation, you know, I understand that John has a below average GMAT score, but I can tell you that he runs amazing models at work or whatever. So think about some other creative ways that you can include that. And the optional essay sometimes is one of the best places where you can kind of give color to any gaps, whether it be academic or otherwise, on your application.
Great. Thank you. I think that's a great answer. Now, again, if you're applying to Lauder and Wharton, then you do the Wharton TBD as well as an individual interview via Wharton. And if you're applying from Penn Law, you still have the Lauder interview. So what is a Lauder interview like, whether you're coming from Penn Law or from Wharton?
Yeah. So the Lauder interview, the way that it works is it's basically a 30-minute conversation, ideally with a current student or an alum. So for our students who are based in the U.S., generally speaking, they'll interview for Wharton or for Penn Law here in Philadelphia. So ideally, in that instance, we like to have a student, current student interview the applicant, and in some cases, the admission staff will as well. For our applicants who might be dispersed, you know, geographically around the world, we're lucky to have alums all over the world. So we try to have an alum interview you in one of our global hubs that Wharton does the team-based discussion. So in terms of who would be interviewing you, ideally a student or an alum of the program. And so basically a 30-minute conversation and a very straightforward, you know, questions around why are you applying to Lauder and not just Wharton? What do you see Lauder really bringing value to that you wouldn't necessarily get through Wharton on its own? So be prepared for, you know, an answer to that. That's a big question for us, is what, you know, really why Lauder? Why do you think this is the right program for you? We'll ask you to share a little bit about your language instruction, how you learned your languages, about your international experiences, about your interest, you know, sort of to look for a demonstration of a passion of international studies and sort of that evidence of that global mindset. We'll ask applicants to talk about their ambitions post-MBA, post-Lauder, you know, what they'd like to do, how they see the program adding value to perhaps their post-MBA goals. So I think the questions, none of them are surprising. None of them should be too outside of the box for applicants. But yeah, a 30-minute conversation one-on-one, and we help connect and schedule those interviews for applicants. So in terms of the logistics, you know, we help facilitate those interviews. So very straightforward, nothing to be nervous about, but definitely come prepared.
Okay. Great advice. Thank you again.
Sure.
So they apply, they have the interview, they get accepted, they go to Wharton Lauder or to Penn Lauder. Where do Lauder grads get jobs?
Yeah, so we have, you know, students definitely working all over the world. About one out of every three students who graduates from Lauder will work outside of their home country after graduation. It changes year to year. We certainly have different outcomes, but in terms of, you know, where they are going to work, we, the last few years, we've seen quite a lot of students go to Amazon and technology. We've seen certainly lots of students return to or transition to consulting, to finance. But we also have students going to work for like the World Bank, the IFC. So we see, you know, a good variety. We have profiles of about five or six recent graduates from the program who actually just graduated this past May. So if applicants are curious, you can take a look at our website and find our graduate profiles. But yeah, I think the outcomes would be, you know, pretty standard in terms of what people would expect, fairly consistent with the outcomes for the MBA program. But again, maybe a little bit more geographically dispersed in terms of where students are going. But technology, consulting, finance, social impact, and then we do each year have students who, rather than go through the formal on-campus recruitment process, they actually start their own businesses or are working on their own businesses. So I know we have about four or five graduates of the last class who are still here in Philadelphia partnering with Wharton, working on their entrepreneurship projects. And they, in their cases, they've received funding from the Lauder Institute as well to work on their businesses. So lots of variety in terms of outcome.
Wow. Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Now, on the Accepted blog, we recently interviewed a Wharton Lauder student, Sergio, who emphasized the plethora of opportunities in the Wharton Lauder program and the finite nature of time. We'll link to his post or his interview from our show notes at accepted.com/337. But how do you care recommend students prioritize at Wharton Lauder? Are you looking for time management skills in applicants because they're going to be dealing with all this opportunity?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a great question.
There are only 24 hours in the day.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, I guess a couple of things. So we, you know, unsurprisingly tend to see very type A, very driven individuals apply to the program. So I think in terms of time management and ambition, we definitely have students who are running on very few hours of sleep, who are still able to like hit the gym, go to class all day, socialize in the evening, recruit for jobs. So I think that's kind of your typical MBA profile. So in that instance, they seem to all manage to get it done, you know, miraculously. They find those hours in the day, you know, to make everything happen. But I mean, definitely, we often get the question from applicants like, hey, is it like, how challenging is it to manage, you know, doing 2 degrees at once? And certainly it's added time, it's added work, there's no doubt about it. But with Lauder, I mean, there's 2 additional classes that meet twice a week. So in terms of volume and time, it isn't twice as much. So I do think in terms of scheduling, it's manageable for our students. There's a very strong community at Lauder. So I think there's a lot of support from our students for one another. And we have our career advisor actually has started a mentorship program from our second year students to our first year students, mostly in regard to careers and to you know, preparing for internships and things like that, but certainly in terms of moral support as well and just guidance. But what I've heard from our alums and from our students is that it's, you know, with Wharton, there's so many clubs and activities that you can join that I think if you're doing a joint degree, you really need to pick and choose wisely in terms of what you're really interested in, what you're really passionate about. So rather than sign up for 100 of the 130 plus clubs at Wharton, you really choose the few things that you're really interested in. You really, you know, utilize your free time wisely so that you can, you know, sort of meet your academic obligations as well as, you know, your other interests in terms of job search and things like that. So time management is key, but I will say with our applicants, we see so many stellar applicants that it sort of goes without saying that they've sort of managed to thrive really well with limited time, you know, certainly depending on their industry or what they're doing for a living. But yeah, so it's something to juggle and choosing wisely, I think, in terms of what you're working on here as a student, what you're interested in is probably the best way to make it all work.
Okay, thank you. What advice, final words of wisdom do you have for applicants to either Wharton Lauder or UPenn Lauder?
Yeah, so as I've been saying earlier, you know, definitely doing your research. So at Lauder, we're lucky to have 2 full-time staff people, myself and my colleague Marcy Bevan, who are dedicated to admissions and to working with applicants. And because we're a smaller program, you know, we have a smaller volume of applicants. So reach out to us, reach out to me if you'd like to have a phone call or a conversation about your interest in the program, maybe thinking through what program of concentration at Lauder makes sense for you. So go to our website, do your research. We have some webinars listed online. Look through those. Reach out to students and alumni, maybe through your network. If you don't know of anybody, definitely reach out to the office. We're happy to connect you with a current student. They're our best ambassadors, so they're happy to talk to applicants. If you can make it happen, you know, if you we would love to have our applicants come to Philadelphia, visit a class, visit Wharton, and that's a great way to really find out if the program's a great fit for you. But in lieu of that, doing your research is really, you know, the number one piece of advice I can give you so that you're really prepared for the obligation of 2 degrees in 2 years and you come to the program really prepared and excited.
Right. Okay. Kara, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about Wharton Institute's joint MA-MBA and MA-JD programs?
Yeah. So our website is lauder.wharton.upenn.edu, or you can just Google the Lauder Institute at Wharton and please, you know, visit us online. Definitely reach out to me. I'm happy to connect with anybody online as well. So find us and follow us on social media too. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, all those good places. So definitely be sure to follow us.
Okay, thank you. We'll include links in the show notes at accepted.com/337 to lauder.wharton.upenn.edu, since that's a little bit of a mouthful, and as well as to related articles and show notes, including the interview with the current Wharton Lauder student, Sergio, that I mentioned a minute ago. Listener, thank you too for joining Kara Keenan Sweeney and me for our 337th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a suggestion for you. Subscribe to Admission Straight Talk. That way, you won't miss any of our future shows. A quick reminder, master the paradox at the heart of graduate admissions by downloading our free guide, Fitting In and Standing Out, The Paradox at the Heart of Admissions. Grab your copy at accepted.com/FISO. Again, that's accepted.com/FISO. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.